Welcome to the Bulls Guys Podcast. I'm the host, K-Dub Kenyatta Wright, and here's my co-host, Mr. Pataka of Chicago, Illinois.
What's up, Bulls fans?
Windy City, win tonight. The Bulls beat my hometown team of Brooklyn Nets. Man, a lot of talk with the Nets. Good, bad, off the court, on the court. They lose to the Bulls tonight. Bulls get a much-needed victory after dropping a couple losses. We're going to get right into it right after this. The Bulls Guys Podcast can now be heard on YouTube. Get all your latest news, debates, rants right here on the Bulls Guys Podcast. All right, we're back on the Bulls Guys Podcast. So, Pataka, man, a much-needed win by the Bulls. And in the fashion that they won this game, coming back from behind, the Bulls fought by as many as 10 points down. And in that fourth quarter, Zach LaVine caught fire, hitting 5 of 11 threes, 3 or 4 of them down the stretch in that fourth quarter to give the Bulls as many as a 9-point lead. Then we had Vooch, you know, posting up, getting some key layups in the paint. And Ayo hitting some big threes, getting some key steals in the open court. And, you know, the Bulls were just making every big play, every big defensive stop that they couldn't make early on. Kevin Durant was killing us. He had a big night. A bad night for Kyrie Irving. He only had 2 points tonight. But, you know, the Bulls doubling KD. And KD was still able to have a big game tonight.
Yeah, man, KD, man, I was watching this game. I was like, okay, KD got it going on, but we going to figure out a game plan to stop him, because it's like, good thing is that Kyrie was off. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, we better not lose to KD in a bunch of no-names. But they figured it out. Double teaming him as soon as he drove, you know, started driving, and right before he's shooting, so him forces him to give the ball up to somebody. And luckily, that they got cold as far as their threes. So I think that was the key thing to the game, is the fact that they game plan, they did their adjustments, started doubling up KD, so that way he can get the ball up.
Well, you take a look at Zach in this game, man. He was pacing himself. He was driving all over the floor and picking his spots and pulling up and hitting jumpers. He even hit some mid-range ones. And I was killing Zach in that sixer game, because down the stretch, you know, Embiid and Harden were coming through for the Sixers. But when it came for Zach to hit some big shots for us, he was missing. So I don't know, man, if he be reading what I write online, but I was killing him, Kataka, because I said, man, listen, you getting $200 million. If I need you to hit some big shots, dude, you got to hit them. And he come out this next game and hit all these shots, man. And he's showing fire and screaming and yelling all over the court. I'm like, man, so he must have read something he ain't like. But listen, he's supposed to do this every night, not just when people talk about him. This is what he get paid the big bucks to do. And tonight, Zach LaVine showed why he is worth $200 million against a Nets team that's struggling, have a lot of distractions right now. They fired their coach, Steve Nash, at the beginning of the day. Which was news to me. I found out early this afternoon.
Yeah. But,
and then they have this anti-Semitic thing with Kyrie Irving going on online, which we're going to touch base on later. But, I mean, the Bulls struggled in the past two games against the Philadelphia 76ers and the San Antonio Spurs. And, I mean, most of it could be contributed to referees officiating. We've been talking about that, Kataka, on the phone. About how the officiating has not been consistent. We see how the Bulls lost that game against Washington due to the, you know, the blown call at the end with DeRozan getting fouled at the top of the key. And then we've seen, you know, the inconsistencies in the other losses to the Sixers and the San Antonio Spurs. So the Chicago Bulls, to get a win like this in Brooklyn, even though it's against a struggling Brooklyn team that has lost, like, I think they lost 4 out of their last 5 games.
Yep.
Man, like, I think this is a booster. So the Bulls are at 500 at 4-4. Kotaka, what's your take on? Yeah, what's your take on this win?
I think this was definitely a much needed win, man. Because if you notice back to back so far this season, I think we were like what 0-4 mm-hmm. or something like that coming into going into the season. So this definitely was a must win. Mm-hmm. Key thing is we got to build upon this because, you know, Zach is going to sit out tomorrow. I don't know if Drummond's going to be back. I don't know how long he's out.
Against the Hornets. Yep.
Against the Hornets. And we definitely going to need him. And I don't know if I'm glad to see Ayo was back in. You know what I'm saying? So it seemed like he, you know, everybody's pretty much going to be playing. So we got to build on this, man. So this is definitely a must and key win for us.
And that Charlotte game, I ain't going to lie. I think out of these two games, between this one and the Charlotte one, I think this was the one I wanted. I really wanted this one. Charlotte might be a trap game, though. You know, Charlotte might be one of those teams we think we're going to win, and, you know, they come out. Listen, LaMelo Ball ain't no joke. So, that ain't going to be no easy win. But out of these two games, I wanted this one. I felt like in Brooklyn to prove this, you know what I mean? And the last time we played Brooklyn, they basically took us in the woodshed and gave us a shellacking, man. So
sure the hell did.
I really wanted to come in here and get them back, you know, for what the way they beat us. No James Harden on this team. Different Nets team this time around, but still, it's still the same logo and the same franchise.
Right, exactly. And I don't want us to get into that trap that, okay, we beating a good team, but we lose it against the sucky team. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be what, you know, the case so far. You know what I'm saying? And then the Hornets, you know, they're 3-4. So, you know, they're going to come in with something to prove. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to keep the ball rolling. We can't be losing any more games, man. Like we've been losing.
I mean, but in all fairness, you know, we lost the Sixers game, but, you know, Andre Drummond not being in that game and Ayo not being in that game was key. I felt like we really needed both of them in that game, especially against Embiid. But Vooch held his own against Embiid. But, you know, I felt like if we had Drummond in that game, it would have made a difference. Having Ayo and forcing Maxey to guard Ayo on the open court, you know, that would have made it a little difficult. Even my friend that's a Sixers fan, he said he watched the game. He said the Sixers got away with a lot in the fourth quarter. James Harden was jumping into people and getting the benefit of the whistle. I'm like, dude, he just dropped the ball. Like, nobody fouled him. Like, what are you calling? Like, I'm like, you going to make up calls like that? So it's like, listen, it was a lot of reasons why we lost that game. Zach, like I said, not hitting those big shots. But another story is this thing with Zach in and out of the line. Like, a lot of Bulls fans have been giving me feedback saying it's messing up the chemistry. It's not good for the team. I don't think that. I think the Bulls can win, you know, pick their spots here and there. You know, a lot of teams have been doing around the league. A lot of stars been doing around the league, Kotaka, where they pick which games they want to sit out, especially when you have an injury like Zach had coming off of a surgery in the offseason. You have to pick what games you're going to play and which ones you're not in this situation. And it's still early in the season, so I was upset at first, but it makes a lot of sense, man. And then going up against the Charlotte Hornets, I think we could beat them without.
Dude, I'm with you because I was the same way early on. I was like, damn, you know, when I heard about this whole knee management thing, and I was like, okay, here we go with the whole Derrick Rose general soreness thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, maybe this may work, but it's all mental. So as long as this guy casting the games that Zach is not in, they need to at least stay competitive. They don't lose. At least make it competitive. Don't get blown out by 20 or 30 points like they did that Cleveland game. Yeah. But you're right. You know, I was the same way. I was pissed off about the shit, but I was like, okay, maybe this may work. But I'm glad that Zach picked this game after learning that, you know, he played what it was the Philly game he set out.
Right.
Where he should have been playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We were really needing him. So maybe he learned from that. Okay, let me pick complete opposite and play the most important game with a high profile team versus a shitty team like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. And I ain't gonna talk. I'm gonna just say this. I'm getting a little sick of losing to the Sixers.
I know you got a thing for Philly.
I am. And I'm getting a little sick of them celebrating every time they beat us. Like, I really want to beat the hell out of that team. We got three more games against them. The Bulls better beat them this year at least once or twice.
I just can't stand Embiid, dude. I think he's like the court jester of the league, man. He think he's a a newer version of Shaq. You know, he can crack jokes and do whatever, you know what I'm saying? It just, I think he's just hot garbage. He just...
Well, if he was playing against Drummond, he wouldn't have been doing that. I don't think.
Oh, hell no. I don't think so either.
I mean, it's easy to push Vooch around, and it's easy to, you know, do what you're doing against a team that's struggling up front, you know, without their rim protector. I mean, that's why we brought Drummond in for this kind of matchup. So it was kind of funny to me that he gets hurt in this particular game that we needed him. Because we still didn't get to show the difference that Drummond makes up against a team that's bigger than us like this. But it's okay. Like I said, we got three more games against them.
Right.
I don't think the Bulls are going to get swept by the Sixers this year. I just don't see it. They're a much better team. They got more potent weapons, and Dragic and Ayo more developed to, you know, force the issue. And then you got Drummond, you know, doing with the damage that he does inside. At least we'll have a little bit of inside game. We didn't have that last year against Philly. Our inside game was non-existent last year against Philly. At least we have somebody that at least give us something inside.
Exactly. And what about Vooch, man? I mean, his rebounds is, man, been over at least on the average probably 12 rebounds a game, because I know tonight he had, what, 15 rebounds? Mm-hmm. Even though he only had like 7 points. But, hey, I take the rebounds over the points. You know,
7 points for Vooch tonight, 2 assists, 15 rebounds, 20 points for DeMar DeRozan, 12 for Pete Will. Pete Will had a decent game.
Yeah, he did.
1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. What did you say? Because I
5 for 10, even though he didn't shoot well from the 3, 0 for 3. But, hey, 5 for 10, I'll take 12 points. I mean, he's climbing. He just got to stay consistent.
15 points for Goran Dragic, and Drummond was out with that left shoulder. Kevin Durant, 32 points in this game, 6 assists. He had the game high. LaVine had 29 right behind Kevin Durant. And, you know, Kyrie Irving, man, brutal. 4 points, man. But, you know, he was going through some off-season stuff. I mean, off-the-court stuff. 7 assists, 6 rebounds for Kyrie, though. You know, those are solid numbers. But, you know, the anti-Semitic comments, we're going to touch on that when we come right back after this break.
The Bulls Guys podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify. It's the Bulls Guys podcast. Follow us on all social media platforms. Show us your support.
All right, we're back on the Bulls Guys podcast. And now, Kotaka, this is the part of the show where I'm blunt. And I'm going to give my opinion on something political that doesn't really have to do that much with sports. And this is something that the media is trying to make it about sports and trying to use sports to cover it up. But I don't know if you've been reading about it or know about it, but Kyrie Irving and had posted some anti-Semitic comments towards a movie that he watched with Alex Jones. Discussing controversial topics about secret societies and New World Order. And this is something I've been studying for some years now. I read the book Propaganda, you know, by Edward Bernays. I read the book Behold the Pale Horse by Bill Cooper. And I've been studying propaganda in the New World Order for the last 5 years. And secret societies do exist. And the thing that gets me is that people try to say that they don't exist, but how can you say that secret societies don't exist when we have lodges that share secrets and don't tell the public what they're doing inside these lodges? How can you say that when it's right in front of your face that we have secret societies? We have secret clubs. Skull and Bones is a secret club at Yale University. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do your homework, you'll know that the things that Kyrie Irving is saying, that Alex Jones is saying, is true. Alex Jones snuck into Bohemian Grove, which is a known cult camping, where the highest people, the most richest people and powerful people in the world gather around a campfire and have a seance, you know, a private seance that nobody else in the world can go to. There's secret things that are being done in our world that we do not know about. And for people to act like and just deem somebody crazy because they're mentioning it, we're in 2022. If you don't know about these things that's going on behind the scenes, you're just batshit crazy.
Right. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because and I might be sort of a prime example of that because I am a member of these so-called secret societies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're probably not aware of that, but I'm a Freemason.
Right.
And I've been hearing a lot of stories when people find out that I'm a Freemason, how, you know, we're devil worshipers and we doing all this and all our ritualistic stuff and all that from what they believe in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like this. You're right. These secret societies do exist. I've heard of the Skulls. You know, there was a fraternity that actually tried to recruit me before I even went to U of I, and that's where a lot of our presidents actually come from.
Yeah, they picked their presidents from there. George Bush went there.
Exactly. So, but their stuff is out there in the open as far as their rituals and stuff like that. So it's not a secret. Not all that stuff you can actually read from the internet. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a secret. But people, back to the Kyrie thing.
Before you go any further, Kataka, the problem I have is not with secret societies and the secrets. The problem I have is that we have this thing where this country, the media, the government, the people that control social media and that control these platforms like Twitter, feel like they have the right to tell somebody that they can't speak their mind on things. That man is a grown-ass man. He can say what the hell he wants on his Twitter. Why are you policing what he has to say?
That's true.
It's not going to change anything. It's not like what he said is going to change the way you're doing things. So let him speak what he got to say. It's a free country. You promote freedom and you promote the Constitution, freedom of speech, and then you do things like this and then silence this guy and threaten him with punishment. I just tried to do a podcast and put his recording on my podcast, and Anchor censored that recording. Like, why are you censoring people?
It's the Illuminati that's affiliated with that, because I get stuff on Instagram from the Illuminati all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, they're able to promote their stuff because that's like the highest of the high when it comes to all the secret societies. So I think it has something to do with Illuminati. I mean, this is me personally speaking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That has that control over that stuff, because, you know, there ain't nobody going to shut them down. But you're right. I have a problem with people being censored. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's that man's free will in the court to mention that stuff. But the fact that they don't want a black person to share the truth. Mm-hmm. They know we're the reasons for why this world exists. We're the creators of this whole world, and they don't want the truth to get out. That's the reason why they censor. And they know the fact that a lot of kids and a lot of people going to believe what we say because, you know, we're high profile black people, black athletes, you know what I'm saying? So if it was Tom Brady saying this shit, they're not going to listen to him. Right. You know what I'm saying? They're listening, but they won't listen to him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if somebody black, you know, we got to prevent him from sharing the truth. You know what I'm saying? That's where the whole race thing comes in.
The thing is, man, I mean, and I hate to do this to Bulls fans because they we talked about the game and we talked about the results. And we all love sports, man. But there's this thing behind sports, you know. And I feel like the reason why they created sports, and then when I say we, I mean the elites. They want the people distracted. They don't want people learning about history. They don't want people reading books. They don't want people tapping into who they really are and their history. They want you to be filled with entertainment. And the moment that you start getting smart and start really tapping into stuff and not really just sitting around just watching football and all of this, they get nervous. But my thing is, like, why are you nervous? First of all, this land belongs to everyone. The people add to this land. The owners of these buildings and the owners of these businesses didn't build their own businesses and their own buildings. The people built them. So this country is really for the people. You know what I mean? So we can share. Why does it always have to be everybody on top of these people? Why can't it just be shared amongst everyone? So that's another problem I have with our society, is that the people that are on top want everything for themselves. They want fairness only for themselves. They want, you know, riches only for themselves. And that's where I have a problem with that, because when you have somebody that slips through the cracks, like how I'm trying to build my own security business, I know people that right now in the city of Philadelphia don't have their PI license, but they're Masons, so they're allowed to start their security business. But I can't start my security business because I don't have a PI and because I'm not in a lodge. But if I was in a lodge, they wouldn't even care about that. So things like that is like where they're picking and choosing who gets to have their business or not. Like, you don't get to decide that for me.
Right.
I don't want to work for nobody. And just because I'm not in a lodge, you're going to force me to work for other people and not have my own business. So it's just a lot of things that they do that I don't agree with. You're allowed to do you, have your own belief, have your secrets, have your lodges. But you don't get to impede on my life and tell me what my freedom and what I'm going to be able to do.
Right. And, you know, the crazy part is, K-Dub, is that even in the Freemasons, there's still separatism. Because you have white Freemasons that won't even acknowledge a black Freemason.
Yes, I know all about that. Yep. Racism, you know, within it. Yep.
Racism within it. And I've had, and the crazy part is Freemasonry, I mean, and I have a problem with, that's when I, one thing I have a problem, because you have your press hall and then your four letter, three letter, it's a whole different story. But the crazy part is all that stuff stems from the start of civilization in Egypt, in the Middle East. You know what I'm saying? But I have a problem with these white Freemasons still trying to make it a race thing, you know what I'm saying? And still try to hold back the truth when they know the truth is plain and simple that, hey, black folks are the start of civilization. But to your story, I mean, you have a legit reason. I assume there's probably some white Freemasons is probably doing this, because I don't think a black Freemason would even think about doing no crap.
Nah, it's white. And the courts is basically supporting it. And basically, you know, the DA, like, I dropped a piece of paper and I got a citation in a small county, and they're trying to pull that citation ticket to say I shouldn't get my license because I was dishonest about it. You asked me on the application, was I ever arrested for a felony or misdemeanor? You didn't ask me, did I have a citation, which is nothing. But at the end of the day, man, this whole thing with Kyrie, man, the guy deserves to have his own opinion. The media needs to leave him alone. You can't expect every athlete to be a puppet. It's 2022. You know, we just had Black Lives Matter and a lot of stuff with George Floyd. And that's how they started giving blacks more freedom and stop arresting them and pulling them over. Mm-hmm. So we're heading in the right direction. But you need to make that giant leap and start just letting people be what they want to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like Kyrie is a hero. You know, Kyrie's a hero. And everything that Alex Jones talked about in that movie that he talked about, because he went in detail and said, you know, about vaccines and how vaccines is meant to, you know, keep us enslaved and everything like that. And it is. Because when it came out, the pandemic, what the first thing they did? They had people locked in their homes. They had people lose their jobs. They had people work. They got people working from home right now because of the pandemic. So people can't even really go outside and live a normal life. People are still doing that. People are still wearing masks, scared of other people. So they kind of crippled our civilization, you know what I mean, as far as a society and you know, in the U.S. So to say that, you know, he's crazy. How is he crazy when we just seen what the hell he's saying? Alex Jones said, we just seen it in the last 2 years during the pandemic.
Yeah.
How is it alive? Well, we just seen it. We just lived it.
Yeah,
and
they
people
don't want...
still don't open their eyes. They think all this stuff is normal and supposed to happen. Oh, viruses are just spreaded. No, it's not.
Nah, they created this mess, man. I have an aunt that's a nurse, man, for 30 years, and she said, yeah, this is something that they created. That shit got out of hand. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And now they can't control it because now it's spread like weeds. You know, shit started over, they got over in China, and ironically, they had it, another virus starting over in what, India, and the poor countries in India and also in Africa. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, go figure. It's a way, I think it's a population control that got out of hand.
Yeah, because they want to, you know, they're saying that there's not enough food and all of this, and that, you know, they want to control how much people is in the world and all of this. You know how many people done lost their lives because of this virus? You know, some of my family members died because of this virus. So, you know, I take it really seriously. And then you have people saying, oh, well, conspiracy theorist, conspiracy nut. Man, the entire United States is a damn conspiracy.
Pretty much, and we've been a conspiracy.
The whole United States and the way it was built is a damn conspiracy and a lie. You know, first of all, we were bought from Great Britain, if I'm staying correct, Kotaka, wasn't we? And yep. That's how we became the New World Order. We became the New America because we were owned by Great Britain. Yep. Seven Freemasons signed the Constitution for people to be free and have rights. And then slowly, every other 10 years, the United States slowly breaks down the Bill of Rights to slowly take the rights from the people. Slowly contradicting themselves that, oh, we gave them these rights. Now we're going to take them back.
Yep. So, the crazy thing is, man, is that they mentioned that even the Civil Rights Act could be easily be changed again because, you know, I think it was only meant to last so many years. You know what I'm saying? So that's now that would be a huge issue if they was to overturn that. Then we'd really be up Schitt's Creek. We're talking about definitely a civil war. All over again, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's crazy how even though we can have all the black presidents and the black vice presidents, but they still trying to keep us from sharing the truth. You know what I'm saying? They still trying to have that glass ceiling over us from actually, you know, being not having to have and have nots, but having what we supposed to have, our 40 acres and mule and then some. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing. I sat here for the last year or so and heard the media and the papers say every bad thing they could about Kyrie. He ain't demonized y'all. He didn't say y'all didn't have the right to have a voice. He ain't trying to silence y'all. He didn't come out and speak bad against y'all, really.
Right. But
this man is just revealing the truth and you trying to silence him and demonize him.
Because they know the public gonna eat that shit up. You know what I'm saying? They know he's a strong voice, he's outspoken. And you know, they don't like when we as black folks know the truth and be that mouthpiece, you know what I'm saying? Because they know we have so many followers. So yeah, they trying to shut that shit down. Yeah, Kyrie didn't even look himself at all. I was looking at his mannerism, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they trying to portray him as this is Kyrie, he a nut, you know what I'm saying? But deep down inside, like you say, he's telling the truth.
Yeah. And then I've seen like a quote from Charles Barkley on one of these internet sites saying Kyrie should have been suspended. And I wanted to click on that interview, but I'm like, man, I ain't even going to go through that. Barkley's another coon.
Yeah.
He's a coon. He's a sellout. You know what I mean? Most of these guys that are on TV, that's, you know, they're coons, man. You know, and I hate to use that word on my podcast, but I mean, it needs to be said because the thing is, sports is fun. I get it. You know, our Bulls fans, they like sports, you know.
Right.
They love basketball. They don't want to hear this part, the controversial side of everything. But
right.
The truth is, man, there's a reality and there's a television.
Right.
Television, sports, all this stuff, it detaches you from the real world and what we really need to be paying attention to.
Exactly.
Stuff that we supposed to be paying attention to is supposed to come first and then sports is second.
Right.
It's an illusion. You're not in the NBA. You're watching other people that are.
Exactly.
So I just pray that, you know, people just stop demonizing this man, actually do their research, actually read up on the things that he's talking about and check it out for themselves before they start judging someone because they don't even have no damn idea what he's talking about and everybody's judging him. Yeah, oh, don't say nothing about the Jews. Right. Why shouldn't you? The Jews probably talk bad about us. They probably say stuff about us, and they have an opinion just like we got one.
And they do have their own opinion about black folks, so then that's another story.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing we've done, and this is the last point I'm going to touch on before we go back to the Bulls, is that the number one thing that we've done wrong as a country and probably as a race of black people, African Americans, we put too much faith in the dollar. And because the Jews have all the money, we're afraid to say anything to the Jews because they're going to take away our money. They're punishing Kanye right now.
Yep.
Oh, he should lose his sneaker deals and all of this because he spoke out. It's a punishment for me to speak my mind?
Yeah.
So I'm a slave. What happened to the land of the free and the Constitution in the United States? Same thing they did to Kaepernick when he didn't stand for the flag and he knelt.
Right.
So all this freedom that you're talking about, oh, I'm only free to do what you want me to do. I'm not really free.
Right. You're still enslaved.
Right. So there's a penalty. So if there's a penalty, I'm not free. So I should be able to say what I want and there's no penalty. So, right. You know, we got to really, really, really pay attention to what's going on and stop just looking just to be entertained. That's the last words I got on this guitar.
Great point.
But yeah, going back to the Bulls now, you know, I'm sorry, fans, we had to touch on that, but that was a really important subject and I really wanted to touch on that because this Kyrie thing has been bothering me, man, because, you know, for them to demonize this man and to watch the reporters, you know, paint the narrative and paint him in the corner in a bad light, I didn't like that. But back to the Bulls, going on to this Hornets game, man, the fact that we won tonight, I was happy that we won, Kotaka, just to stop the bleeding. But I still was kind of bothered that, you know, the way we struggled in the last two games. And, you know, not just the way we, you know, not just struggling, but the way we lost those two games.
I think, to me, what hurt us the past two games, and I'm glad that they sort of worked on it on this game, but not fully, is the three-point defense.
And the turnovers, too.
And the turnovers, exactly.
They had a lot of stupid ones in this game, too.
Yeah, they had a lot. Let me look, see if I can see some stats. But, yeah, they three-point was really killing us because it seemed like no matter what San Antonio was doing, shooting, whoever, these shots was going in. And it was just crazy. I see Brooklyn was only, they was 37.5% from the three. You know, I think if they would have tried to shut that shit down a little bit, the score would have been much bigger.
Let's get into some team stats. The Bulls shot 43% from the field. The Nets shot 48% from the field. 36 for 75 from the field for the Nets, 39 for 89 for the Bulls. From three-point land, the Bulls shot 12 for 30 from three. The Nets shot 12 for 32. It was pretty close, both teams. Mm-hmm. Bulls shot 40% from three. The Nets shot 37% from three. The Bulls shot 18 for 21 from the free throw line, and the Nets shot 15 for 19. So we're getting some respect, getting some free throws up in there.
About damn time.
The Bulls had 45 rebounds to the Nets 38 team assists. The Bulls had 20. The Nets had more team assists at 27. They were moving that ball around, Kotaka, hitting them threes, forcing the Bulls to double. That was killing the first half. And they had nine 3-point shots in the first half. Seven steals for the Bulls, four for the Nets. Turnovers, the Nets had 17. The Bulls had 10. Maybe that could be the difference, Kotaka, and how the Bulls pulled away at the end. The Bulls had 15 fast break points to 7 for the Nets. Points in the paint, the Nets had 44. The Bulls had 32.
Yeah, they was pushing that ball, man. And that's why I was pissed off at that damn Billy Donovan turnover. I mean, bringing off timeout. Because they was about to run them. They was on a 3-on-2. And I think Ayo had the ball. And freaking Billy Donovan called a timeout. One of the guys on Bullseye was like, it don't matter. We about to win this game. Like, dude, you don't understand.
That's why you broke the momentum.
You broke the momentum because I think Zach was hot. You know what I'm saying? And this dude calling a timeout. It was an ill-advised timeout. You didn't have to call that shit. You know? So, yeah, we was pushing that damn ball.
The Bulls got this win tonight. They got this win tonight. It was much needed. I'm waiting to see how they do against Charlotte, but you can see as the games go along, Billy Donovan is starting to adjust and make those adjustments. I think he's being a little bit too abrasive on adjustments because that timeout today, that, like you said, it didn't make any sense. But at least he's paying attention. At least he's being proactive on, you know, calling timeout and trying to correct things. But good win for the Bulls tonight, 108-99, as they defeat the Brooklyn Nets. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show right after this.
The Bulls Guys podcast can now be heard on YouTube. Get all your latest news, debates, rants, right here on the Bulls Guys Podcast.
All right, back on the Bulls Guys Podcast. Now, Kotaka, you have a social media on Instagram. Would you mind sharing that with my listeners?
Yes, sir. My personal one is Kotaka Graham, also from my band, Together Melange, in which we actually have a performance booked this upcoming, on actually in January the 4th. So I'll be having more details for that.
And you know, you guys can follow us on Twitter at TalkingBulls82. You also follow us on Facebook on the Talking Bulls, on the Bulls Guys, Bulls Guys Facebook page. And you can also send us an email at TalkingBulls82@gmail.com. And we're also on Spotify and YouTube as well as Anchor. Thanks for joining us tonight, Bulls fans. The Bulls win tonight 108-99. The next game is against the Charlotte Hornets. Until next time, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.